It's in honor of God's Word. Here we go. Verse 1. Let's read it together. These four words, Hebrews 13:1. Ready? And let's read. Let brotherly love continue. Boy, that's simple, isn't it? Now, there's a period in my Bible after that word continue. Is there one after yours? Yet? Right? So that's a statement. That's just one sentence. Let brotherly love continue. All right, let's pray, and then we're going to have the song. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for today. Thank you for all the blessings. Lord, thank you for the fun we can have with the kids and the balloons. Thank you, Lord, for all the good things that happen. Speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, it'll be a little uncomfortable, and no doubt when it gets a little muggy. So I pray that you'd help me to know what to say, what not to say, where to linger, where to move on. But help us to concentrate, get something out of our time here tonight for the betterment of this church and our own hearts. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, be seated.
Heaven sounding sweeter all the time. Life has been so good, I can't complain. When I'm down, God gives me
you. All right, I want to speak tonight on perpetuating brotherly love. That's what the writer was saying here. Let brotherly love continue. Let it perpetuate itself. Don't interfere with it. Don't shut it down. Let it keep going. Let brotherly love continue, perpetuating brotherly love. Thank you, dear Father, for the privilege to preach your book once again. I don't take it for granted. Someday I'll not be able to do that. And I thank you so much for the privilege to do it now. If you, Jesus, stay in heaven, tarry your coming, I'll go the way of eternity, as will all the folks in this room. And my lips will be silenced as far as preaching goes. So it's a privilege now. It's a joy. And I pray that you'll speak to our hearts. And Lord, help us in these few moments to concentrate. And if it gets a little warm, Lord, just help me to know again what to say, where to linger, where to move on, and help us to listen carefully. In Jesus' name, and amen. The author of the book of Hebrews, the man who was the human pen, is left to speculation. Most attribute this book to the Apostle Paul. Other people attribute it to Barnabas. Some attribute it to Apollos, Silas, even Luke. For whatever reason, God chose not to disclose the man's name that he used to put these words on paper. It was written to Jewish believers scattered around the known world at that time. And its basic purpose was to show that the Mosaic law and all of its symbolism and even the Levitical priesthood and all of that had truly come to an end in the person of Jesus Christ. All the Mosaic law, all the Levitical priesthood, all the symbolism of all that came to an end in the person of Jesus Christ. Christ is better, is the theme of the book of Hebrews. Throughout the book, He's better than this, and better than that, and better than this. All of it going back to the Mosaic law, especially the first part of the book, chapters 1 through about the middle of chapter 10. And then the last part, about halfway through chapter 10 through chapter 13, is probably, it's more practical. The letter probably written for the church in Jerusalem, first and foremost, and maybe shared around to other churches. Now, you get to chapter 13. It wraps up the book with some very practical admonition in chapter 13, all the way down through verse number 25. We'll look at one verse tonight, the very first verse. It's the subject of our lessons these past several Sunday nights. Let brotherly love continue. Now, you take a guess at this. You probably will figure this out. The word, the Greek word for brotherly love is what? The city of Philadelphia. Philadelphia. Philadelphia is the city of brotherly love. Now, they're not known for that, but that's what they're... In fact, I heard or read somewhere, it was in Philadelphia, I think at a football game or something, they booed Santa Claus. Can you imagine that? They booed Santa Claus. I'll tell you what, that's pretty bad when you got to boo Santa Claus. But anyway, city of brotherly love, that's Philadelphia. That's the Greek word here. Let Philadelphia continue. Let the brotherly love continue. That word Philadelphia, fraternal affection. You've heard of a fraternity, a brotherhood, okay? All believers are a part of a fraternity. We're part of the brotherhood. And the preeminent characteristic of this band of believers, this fraternity, this brotherhood, the preeminent characteristic that ought to be about true about all of us is our love for each other. All of us were birthed, spiritually speaking, by the same Father. All of us were birthed by the same Father. Now, just like the physical birth, we are all unique and we are all different, but the fact that we all came into spiritual life from the same Father makes us a band of brothers. Makes us a fraternity. Makes us a brotherhood, if you will. On Thursday, after I got done teaching at the college, I caught the plane at O'Hare and flew over to Columbus, Ohio. I would have driven, But I lose an hour driving over there, and I couldn't get there in time teaching my classes and driving. I prefer to drive. You're a hostage on an airplane. And anyway, I had to catch the plane. And so I flew into Columbus and spoke Thursday night at Brother Corey Baines' church, Grace Baptist Church in Delaware, Ohio. Tremendous church. Corey Baines, a tremendous young pastor, good man. And they're in a building program. They bought a quarter mile from the church. They bought 48 acres of land, and they're building a 41,000 square foot complex there. They're just all excited. It was there for their missions conference. Actually, Ben was invited to this conference, but he already had a meeting in California, and he couldn't come, and I hated that. I was hoping that we could be there together. But they had an island theme. Well, I passed right by on the way to Delaware in Columbus. I passed right by the Westerville exit. Westerville, Ohio is where my brother lives, and I'd called him on the way to Providence on Thursday morning early and said, "Tom, I should have probably let you know this before now, but I'm going to be in Delaware, Ohio, Thursday or Friday night. How far is that from you?" And he said, "Oh, goodness, only 30 minutes. And so we talked. His wife had a kidney stone lasered on Wednesday. You know, they do take that laser and poof, blow them up. And she was a little bit sore Thursday. So on Friday night, Tom and Lisa came to the service up there, and I was thrilled to introduce them to the people. And my mind was on this subject already as I was preparing the message for Sunday night. Let brotherly love continue. And I got to thinking about Tim and Tom and I. got to thinking about us three boys. Spiritually speaking, you could not find three more different lines of, how do you even say it? Influence, heritage, posterity, spiritually speaking. You know, the men that are in my line. Some of you, some of this won't mean anything to some of you, but others of you it will. The men who are in my heritage, the posterity, the lineage that I came from spiritually, is Lester Roloff first and foremost because he led Mike to Christ, and then Lee Robertson because Mike went to school at Tennessee Temple, and then Jack House because that's where I went to school. So the three men, I guess, the most influential men in my life would be Lester Roloff and Lee Robertson and Jack Hiles, and then you add to that Jim Vineyard after I got to the college. Those four men right there would be kind of the influential men. Of course, then Brother Brown and so forth and so on. My brother Tim went to Bob Jones. He graduated from there. The influential men in his life would be Bob Jones Jr., Bob Jones III. A little bit of difference between Jack Hiles and Bob Jones Jr. A little bit of difference between Lester Roloff and Bob Jones III. Okay? A little difference in philosophy and practice and everything. My youngest brother, Tom, out in Ohio, he went to Bryan University. He comes from an evangelical line, if you will, that trained him and mentored and taught him. And then he went from that evangelical school to Grace Brethren Church out there in Ohio. And so I don't even recognize the names of the men who are in his lineage, if you will, spiritually speaking, who influenced him and taught him. So here you go. You got the Lester Roloff, Lee Robertson, Jack Hiles, Jim Vineyard line. You got the Bob Jones Jr., Bob Jones III, Stuart Custer, all those fellows down there, Greenville. And then you've got this evangelical line. I don't even know who they are. And the three of us are brothers. I tell you what. In case you don't know it, that's different. That's extremely different. But we are a fraternity. We're a brotherhood. We get together, we have a great time. And I mean that, a great time. We're getting together, Lord willing, in the middle of June for the folks' 50th anniversary celebration. And we've been on the phone three-way. Tim has one of these conference things, and so you call it, and everybody gets on the phone at the same time, and from Ohio to Florida to Illinois, and we all talk, and we've been planning and thinking about some things and putting some things together and trying to come up with maybe a program. We're going to do some things down there to make it special for Mom and Dad, and we have laughed on the phone, and Tom and I had such a great time, and he and his wife on Friday night. And I know I said some things in the service on Friday night that are different than how they believe. I know I did. But, you know, it was never brought up in the truck on the way down to Delaware, or from Delaware to Columbus, and things are different there. It never was brought up. There's a brotherhood there. There's a fraternity there because we all come from the same dad. Amen? Yes, sir. Now, it's amazing to me. This is what's amazing to me. And I'm not sure I'll even verbalize this as much as I feel it. The three of us could not all go to church together. If we lived in the same town, we'd go to different churches. We could not all go to church together. We're too different. We're too different in that area. And yet our churches are very important to all of us. My brother Tim's on the pulpit committee right now at his church. He's chairman of the deacon board down there. And they're looking for a pastor there. And they don't look the same places that this church would look. Okay? Tom is on the pulpit committee out there, what they call the search committee, the Grace Brethren. They run 2,000 or 3,000 on Sunday morning out there. They don't have any church Sunday night. They run 2,000 or 3,000 on Sunday morning. And the pastor is going to be 70 real soon, and they're putting some things into place to replace him, and he's ready to step down. And so Tom was talking to me about some of the things going on in the church and how that they need this, they need that. And you talk to Brother Tim, and you talk to Brother Tom, and you learn that their churches are just as important to them as this church is to me. You see, the church is the place where we assemble to sing and to fellowship and to give and to pray and to serve. You see, this fraternity, this brotherhood right here is very important to me, just like Tom's is to him and like Tim's is to him. And the truth of the matter is, friend, the love in my heart for the people of Faith Baptist Church is strong. It's real. It's deep. It's important. I feel about you folks like I feel about my blood brothers. And even though you and I are not of the same fathers, physically speaking, we are of the same Father spiritually. We're a brotherhood, a band of believers right here. A brotherhood, a fraternity. And the number one characteristic that should grace this place is brotherly love. Love for each other. Let brotherly love continue. In this band of brotherhood, in this fraternity, may the fraternal affection that should characterize this place always characterize this place. Because we're born to the same Father. And belong to the same assembly here. Now, here the command is to let brotherly love continue. There are some obvious lessons or observations that I want to draw from this. First of all, listen carefully. Number one, these believers had grown to the place of brotherly love. Folks, they had to be there. Obviously, if He told them to let it continue, then it means the people had grown to the place of this fraternal affection. They had come to the place in their churches where it was present, it was real, it was strong. And He said, let that thing continue. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Hold your finger there in Hebrews 13. And look at 2 Peter chapter 1 this evening and verse number 5, 6, and 7. 2 Peter 1 verses 5, 6, and 7. And you'll see this matter of growing and maturing to the place of brotherly love. Now, I said before that brotherly love is instinctive. And it is. But you don't just stay at that little bitty brotherly love that's instinctive when you get saved. It's like a married couple, like we talked about last week. Married couples who've been married 25, 30 years should be way deeper into love than somebody's been married 30 days. Amen. Should be. So the same thing is true about brotherly love. Look at verse number 5 here. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness. And then you add to brotherly kindness charity. That's talking about all encompassing. The whole world. Everybody. But I want you to see how far along brotherly kindness is. You see, these are building blocks of Christian growth. After salvation, brotherly kindness, Philadelphia, is number 6 on the growth chart. You add this, and this, and this, and this, and you add brotherly love. So it's a matter of growing in grace. It's a matter of growing and growing together, growing as a fraternity, growing as a brotherhood, to the place where brotherly love is real and present and strong. And the writer of the book of Hebrews said, let it continue. These Hebrew Christians had grown in this area of their Christian walk. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing they'd grown because, listen very carefully, their era was filled with potential landmines when it came to brotherly love. You see, this era was the time when the Gentiles were starting to get saved in large numbers and were starting to join the churches. And the Jews and Gentiles were going to church together. And folks, you could not put two different types of people in the same fellowship than Jews and Gentiles. You could not put two different types of people. And I was going to turn over to Romans 14, but because we don't have any air rolling, and we're just going for sake of time. But here's what was happening. He got Jews and Gentiles in the same church. Same church. Same Father spiritually. Same church, a brotherhood, and here's what was going on in this era. Here the Jews were, and the Jews would sit down to eat meat that had been offered to idols. It didn't mean anything to them, because in the practice of their faith, they had never eaten meat that had been offered to idols. They didn't worship idols. The Jews had the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt make no other graven image or bow down to it before thee. They didn't have idols. They worshiped the true God of Israel. So this thing of eating meat that was offered to idols didn't mean a thing to these Jews. But all of those Gentile people, they were saved out of deep, dark paganism. And they had seen meat and offered meat to idols and eaten meat that had been offered to idols. And here these Jews were sitting down eating this meat that had been offered to idols. And the Gentiles would stay away from that because of what past they came out of. And the Jews said, it don't matter. What's the big deal? Doesn't mean a thing. On the flip side of the coin, the Jews came out of Judaism where they had holy days and feast days. They had all these special occasions, and they would still observe some of these holy days. And the Gentiles, they never had holy days. They never observed any feasts. They never observed any ceremonies. And so what was? The Jews would have a holy day and the Gentiles would act like nothing's happening. What's the big deal about this? And these people were in the same church together. So the potential for trouble comes in this era of diet versus days, days versus diet, Jews versus Gentiles, Gentiles versus Jews, who were all members of the same church. All members of the same fraternity. All members of the same brotherhood. Let me ask you a question. What gets a group of church members through potential landmines like this? I'll tell you what does. Brotherly love. That's what gets a group of believers through the landmines. Through all the trouble about diets and days and what are we going to do? You have all kinds of allowances for things that are secondary in nature. You don't make big issues over secondary matters. You make big issues over primary matters, not secondary matters. In our day and age, there's all kinds of things. Do I observe Christmas or not? Do we observe Easter or not? Do we get vaccinations or not? Homeschool, church school, bottle feed, nurse, meat or vegetarians? I mean, these people are all kinds of folks in churches today who have different opinions on all those things. Can I tell you, friend, none of those things is primary. None of those things is primary. And you got somebody who makes a big issue out of a secondary matter. Romans 14 says that they are weak. They're weak. Yeah. You see, you get over there. Person, listen very carefully. The person who was eating vegetables, vegetarian, Romans chapter 14, listen, wasn't weak because they were eating vegetables. They were weak because they were making an issue out of it. That's where the weakness comes in. It doesn't matter if you eat, it may be completely healthier for you to eat all vegetables. I don't know how much you'd enjoy it. Every now and then you've got to have a piece of meat. Like once a day. Amen. Meats or vegetables? Yes. All of them. Amen. Everything. Pork? Yes. Chicken? Yes. Fish? Yes. Beef? Yes. I mean, the whole nine. That's how I am. Okay? You're not weak because you eat all vegetarian or because you eat meat. You're only weak when you make an issue out of a secondary matter. You're not weak because you don't celebrate Christmas. Or you're not weak because you do celebrate Christmas. You're weak when you make an issue out of a secondary matter. And what needs to happen is this. You and I have to see the bigger picture here that's involved rather than Easter or Peter Rabbit or Santa Claus or a shot or a bottle or something. There's a bigger picture. You know what it is? It's Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the big picture, church. Now, you know what goes out the window? When people start making major issues out of those type things, you know what goes out the window? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what goes out the window. So we don't make issues on secondary matters because we're sacrificing the important things of the kingdom of God. Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. I like verse number 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. And things wherewith one may edify another. Can I tell you something? That stating your case for Christmas or against Christmas, stating your case for Easter or against Easter, for bottle feeding or nursing, stating your case where it causes division in a church is not following after the things that make for peace. You got a problem in your heart. Your eyesight's about this big. Some of you haven't even looked up here at the pulpit once tonight. I'm not talking about teenagers. I'm talking about adults. And you looked at the pulpit one time all night. Your eyes, your focus in life is about this big. You got to get your eyes on the big picture, folks. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what it is. When we begin to sacrifice those things for secondary matters, buddy, we're in trouble. He said in verse number 20, "For meat destroy not the work of God." That's a plain command. Don't you destroy the work of God over secondary matters. How many works of God have been destroyed because people had no brotherly love? They had no allowance for disagreement on secondary matters. Let brotherly love continue. at Faith Baptist Church. Let brotherly love continue. There's all kinds of likes and all kinds of dislikes when it comes to matters of preference. For secondary matters, destroy not the work of God. Truth of the matter is, I would submit to you that most churches split or destroyed over secondary matters, not primary matters. And if the Holy Ghost leaves a place, it's usually not because they've used a different Bible. It's because there's fighting and fussing over secondary matters. So he's out the door. That's not worth it, folks. It's not worth it. There's no secondary matter worth losing that righteousness and joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. None. And you're a weak believer if you make an issue over that. You need to grow up to the place of brotherly love. Philadelphia. Look beyond that. That's not big. Now let me say number two tonight. These believers were in danger of losing brotherly love. They were in danger of losing it. That's why the admonition was, let it continue. Let it perpetuate. Let it endure. Let it remain. Don't lose it. There's always the potential for that brotherly love to be lost. And that's his admonition here. Let it continue. Listen very carefully. Not only was this brotherly love intact in the era of disagreements over diet and days, but this brotherly love was intact in the era of severe persecution. Now, friend, you get to thinking, let that just meditate on that for a few minutes. Why should brotherly love continue? Because outside of the church, the world at this time was becoming very violent towards Christianity. While the church was growing in numbers and influence, it was also encountering severe persecution. So the writer of Hebrews says, look, because of the persecution on the outside, it is all the more important that brotherly love continue on the inside. You see, they needed each other. They needed each other. They could not afford to lose this fraternal affection over matters that were secondary. They couldn't afford it. They needed each other. I'm going somewhere with this. Every church's primary advocates should be its own members. I'll say that again. Every church's primary advocates should be its own members. Do you know why brotherly love needs to continue at Faith Baptist Church? Do you know why we need to be careful that we don't ever grow in danger of losing it? Because we've got a bunch of new folks that have been saved recently here in this church. And they need the encouragement, admonition of a place where there is brotherly love. Let me tell you something. It's like I said this morning. You take news that you got saved to family and friends and co-workers, and they don't stand up and clap. They don't slap you on the back. They don't encourage you. Oh boy, that's great news. I'm glad you got saved. I hope you grow in grace. I hope you love the Lord. I hope you just grow and grow and grow. When you go back and tell people who are unsaved that you got saved, they look at you with one eyebrow raised. What wagon did you fall off of? You've lost your mind? You're crazy? Are you with me, folks? That's why they got to be able to come to a place where there is brotherly love. Let it continue. Why? Because, friend, on the outside, people do not understand serving God and living for God. It's here, it's in the four walls of these church where people should get encouragement and lifted up and blessed and helped. Let it continue right here because of persecution. Nobody should shout louder for Faith Baptist Church than the people in this room right here. That's truth. That's truth. Shame on some of us if someone from the outside of this membership is more concerned about Faith Baptist Church than the membership itself. That's not to be that way. A church's strongest advocates should be the voices of its own membership. Nobody should root louder for the teens of Faith Baptist Church than the membership of Faith Baptist Church. And anytime you have the potential and the ability to help them raise $5 or $6 to go to a summer camp or a ski camp, the people of this church ought to rally together and do it. Nobody should be more for the teenagers of this church than us. Shame on us if somebody else outside of here carries a greater burden for the well-being of our teenagers than us. That's not letting brotherly love continue. This needs to be the place where they're encouraged. Support them with love and encouragement and kind words. And when they make plans to go on and study and do things with their life, encourage them in it and tell them, man, I hope God blesses you. And be that voice of encouragement, brotherly love. They need that. No special singing group should be greeted with a louder amen than our own special music people. Think about it. You pull in somebody. We have Scott and Lisa and Bobby and I forget his wife's name right now. Huh? Laura. Bobby and Laura that come in and sing that quartet. Man, they sing good. And boy, you get loud amens. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to shout louder for outside special music group than I shout for my own members. Why would I do that? Because this is my fraternity. This is the band of brotherhood that I'm a part of right here. And I'm for good music everywhere else. But I'm going to tell you something. I thank God for the people of this church who practice and stay late, come early to stand up here and sing songs, service after service after service after service after service after service. They just run, one after the other, and the choir. And nobody should be more for the music program of this church than this church. The ladies on the instruments, the people in the band. If it's a blessing to you, tell them. If it's not, tell them it is anyway. Amen. The bus captains of this church should be commended greater by the membership of this church than by any other else, than by anybody else. The children of this church should be loved and encouraged and given more just, boy, good to see you, love than anybody anywhere else. And man, when new folks come into this assembly, they ought to feel, I get something here I don't get at work. In some cases, I get some things here I don't get from my own family. Amen. I feel it. It's uplifting and it's encouragement and it's a blessing and it's a hello. It's called brotherly love. Let it continue. Hey, folks, in case you haven't noticed, the world isn't tossing bouquets of encouragement to Christian people. Nobody's been down here to congratulate Brother Caleb on a good job in the bus ministry from the Daily Journal. Amen. Nobody's been down here to congratulate Brother Jason doing a good job with the teenagers of the Faith Baptist Church. Nobody's been here from the village board to do that. Nobody's been here from outside the area. Oh, they might say nice comments once in a while, but most of the time people come here from the outside and they want to know how many students are in the school. You tell them 55 and they just look at you. There's grades with more kids. Single grades with more kids in most schools than 55. But I never back down. Friend, I tell them we offer everything from kindergarten to 12th grade, and we offer the upper level sciences and the upper level maths. And our students that are leaving our school and going on to college are passing out of the elementary math and English classes and not having to take them. They're getting a good education here. Nobody should be for our school more than the membership of this church right here. Even if you don't have kids in the school. It's a fraternity. It's a brotherhood. We're together in this thing. You don't get in the danger of losing it. We get in the danger of losing it, friend. We've lost one of the most important things in the world. The world isn't clapping their hands for God's people, no. The world isn't cheering on the teenagers of Faith Baptist Church for doing well and staying off of drugs and out of cigarettes and out of alcohol and out of promiscuous behavior and saying yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and being obedient, having a good attitude. The world isn't clapping their hands for our teenagers. Well, if we don't, who's going to? In danger of losing it. Truth of the matter is, if God's people don't get a little love at church, where are they going to get it? And by the way, if you're waiting for people to reach a certain level of maturity before you love them, you're in the wrong business, pal. I'm telling you. That's crazy. If we don't get a little love here, where are we going to get it? Especially when the environment outside church is getting more and more ugly towards a Christian. Amen. And you know that's true. And you men that have to work in places where they're unsaved, you know that's true. Let me ask you just a few questions tonight. What am I doing? What are you doing to perpetuate brotherly love here? Have you told anybody at church lately that you love them? Look at me. It is not feminine for me to tell this man that I love him. It's spiritual. It's right. It's godly. I say that to Christian men sometimes, and it's like, no, it's normal. It's normal. And there's nothing wrong with a Christian man looking at another Christian brother in the face and saying, brother, I love you. Thank God for you. Have you told anybody you love them lately? Now, a little common sense, I don't go up to the man's wife and say, I love you. I'm talking about man to man, the woman. I'm not against you. I'm not against you ladies hugging each other as long as it's another lady. Amen. Now, I'll tell you what, I'll do it often. I'm not against putting a good, proper bear hug on another man in the Lord because I love him. I'm not against that. I'm for that. It's an expression of love. Sure it is. Have you written a note or a letter to anyone commending them lately? Have you? How long has it been? Just some little thing you've seen around the church. And boy, you know, I notice you do this and you know, you're just always there and that's a blessing. I'm not talking about to me. I'm talking about to each other. Huh? I wrote a person in the church a little handwritten note this week. Just about 6 or 8 sentences. Ta-da-ta-da, notice this, notice that. I really appreciate that, man. I appreciate that. God bless you, you know. Ta-da-ta-da, I told a little story in there in that little short letter about that person. Yeah. You're going to be in danger of losing it. Let it continue. Have you prayed specifically for any one particular person recently? Have you told anyone of how they have been a blessing to you? How long since you left on a Sunday before you walked out to the parking lot, you shook somebody's hand and said, you're a blessing to me? Why is it quiet? Why is it quiet? Who puts the decorations up? Who does this stuff? Who puts these flowers around? Who straightens up the auditorium? Who takes care of this? And this, the nursing? Nobody's a blessing to you? In danger of losing Philadelphia. In danger of losing brotherly love. You say, I'm just not that type. Grow up. Grow into it. That's normal, natural part of love. Brotherly love. It wasn't hard for me on Friday night to tell my brother, 6'8" tall, love you, bud. Hang up the phone the last several weeks. I've been on the phone these 3-way conversations. I love you guys. Love you too, Terry. Love you, Tim. Love you, Tom. Love you. Nothing funny in that. Something very right in that. And the same thing is true about a local church. These folks were in danger of losing brotherly love. The writer says, let it continue. Perpetuate it. Don't let it die. Let it remain. Let it live on. Pass it down. Don't let brotherly love die. Perpetuate it. Same is true for us today. By the way, it doesn't hurt you teenagers every once in a while to look a grown man in the face or lady and say, you've been a blessing to me. It works both ways. And let me say this, and I'll be done. I'm hurrying because I'm sweating. The natural result of brotherhood is love. What's the first word in that sentence? Let. Let. Let it happen. You see, don't get in the way of brotherly love. Think about it, folks. I'll skip over it because you're warm, I'm warm. Think about how many commands in the New Testament begin with the word let. Let, 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 let. Let, 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 let. You know what the Bible's saying? Hey, Christian, get out of the way. Get out of the way and let the Spirit of God live the life of Christ through you. If you'll just get out of the way and let Him go into action, just let it happen. It's the natural outgrowth of being a born-again child of God. Let your light so shine. Let your speech be always seasoned with grace. Let brotherly love continue. Get out of the way and let it happen. That's exactly what He's saying. Let the Spirit of God live it through you. Truth of the matter is, if brotherly love is hindered in my life, it's not because of you, anybody in my life. If brotherly love is hindered in my life, it's my fault. If I get myself under control and get myself out of the way, you know what the natural result of that is? Brotherly love. There'll be a fraternal affection in my heart for people in this room. It'll be the natural result. It won't die. It'll perpetuate. It'll continue. It'll overlook matters that are secondary in nature. It'll realize that the world does not really care for our brand of serving God. And if somebody's going to be encouraged, it's going to be up to me to do it. I'm going to be the loudest voice of praise for the people of Faith Baptist Church. If I'll get myself out of the way and let brotherly love continue. That's a four-word command. That's no option. That's a command. This is probably it. I've thought about maybe one more message, but I don't know if I'll be there next Sunday night or not. This is the third or fourth one. I forget. I believe it's important. I believe it's important for us as a church to take the next step we're about to take. Let brotherly love continue. I don't care how many buildings we put up or don't put up. You let brotherly love continue. I don't care how big we get or don't get. Let brotherly love continue. That's what he said. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening in spite of the problem with the air conditioners. Who's here tonight would say, Brother Angel, I don't know if I died right now that I'd go to heaven. I don't know that I'm saved. Pray for me. Anybody like that here tonight? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Would you raise your hand? Let me pray for you tonight. Just let me pray for you. That's all. Say, Lord, speak to this person's heart. I see a small child's hand, two small children's hands. God bless you, little kiddos. We trust that the Lord will bring you to salvation at a good age. Mom and Dad will be working with you in the home. If you're saved and never been baptized, tonight's the night for you to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. If you're saved and baptized, and you're a member of this church, you have an admonition. Let brotherly love continue. Let it. Get out of the way, Christian, and let brotherly love continue. Who said, Brother Angel, tonight or previously, God put His finger on something in my life, my heart. You've been on this topic, on this subject. Pray for me tonight in the invitation prayer. Would you raise your hand? I appreciate that. Take your hands down. A lot of hands. Lord Jesus, thank you that you speak to hearts. A little more difficult tonight with no air moving, but I appreciate the people's attention. And I appreciate, dear Lord, honesty. God, you've spoken to my heart. I want to be what I'm supposed to be in this area. That fraternal affection. Let it continue, oh dear God. It's up to us. Let it continue. Please. Let's stand together. In Jesus' name we pray. Stand together. Here we go, ladies. Invitation time. Here we go. If any hands went up, don't do a disservice in the Spirit of God. Let it touch your heart. Maybe you've been critical, ugly-spirited towards somebody else in the church. Let it continue. Let it continue. While we wait tonight, would you come? Would you come? Maybe this week be a good week to be a blessing to somebody. Maybe this week be a good week to write somebody a little note. Say, man, you've been a blessing to me. Or tell somebody verbally. Let brotherly love continue.